celebrate 60 years of everyone's favorite show.
We got 2 minutes before this building falls over and explodes and crashes into the sun.
60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Explodey bang!
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
Well, this is nice, isn't
it? It's very nice, yes. What's happened here?
Well, so we are still in the Moxie Hotel in Slough, yeah. Of course. Anderson country, as we like to call it. We're here on the Gerry Anderson podcast. Now, you're probably thinking, well, where's your special guest? Well, here's our special guest.
There wasn't one, and so I'm filling in for the special guest.
So in our new, well, it's a fairly flexible format, let's put it that way. We're just taking a pause, making use of the fact that we've got Jamie Anderson with us for an extended period today, rather than just dropping in.
Nice.
But also to celebrate 60 years of everyone's favourite show.
Mr. Ben Torchy.
Thunderbirds.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, it can't have escaped your attention that Thunderbirds is 60 years old.
Yes, turned 60. Well,
end of the month. Well,
transmission birthday, yes. 30th of September. Do we have any other birthdays for it? Not really.
When did they start shooting it? I mean, how long would they be working 60 years ago?
When did they start writing it? When did they have the idea? When do you call it?
Yeah, let's just stick with it's the 60th anniversary of transmission.
It's much easier that way, isn't it?
Yes, not easy to say, though.
No. in celebration of all things Thunderbirds, we have a return of a few favourites. For example, Jamie, what's that over there I could see on the desk?
Chris's empty chocolate mug.
Right next to it. Look, pick that
this.
Up. Yes. Oh. It's the Book of Fab Facts.
It lives. That's very exciting.
So we're bringing back all the old school favourites for 1 month only. And we also have the return of Super Magnification.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was more excited about this, I have to be honest.
Yeah. We'll also be hearing from our wonderful Podstrons, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Because over on our Facebook group, I asked the question, what are your favourite memories and thoughts about Thunderbirds celebrating its 60th birthday? And what in particular are you looking forward to that's coming up in the worlds of Thunderbirds and Anderson generally? Because there's a lot coming up, isn't there?
There's a lot that's already been.
So...
And we've also been out and about.
Exactly. So let's have a little chat about where we were last weekend.
Last weekend. Mm-hmm. This being the Museum of Brands.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
This is an elaborate grove.
There's Lee Sullivan. There's James Swallow.
There we go.
There's some toys.
This is an exhibition.
I want that one.
Yes, Chris. Chris. This is for the viewer, not for us. We've been there and seen it.
We've been there.
This is running until February, I think. Is that right, Jamie?
It is, yes. A special collection of over 500 items from the worlds of Anderson, particularly focused on Thunderbirds and Space 1999, but also there's loads of Stingray.
Torchy!
Yeah, all right, careful,
there's loads
Chris.
Of Stingray and Captain Scarlet and loads of UFO, and I spotted some lovely things there many lovely things that I'd never seen before from the world of Anderson merch.
Uh-huh.
Some Joe 90 Sugars Max, I've seen those before.
Yay!
Some favourites... things that I'd seen. I mean, you're welcome to add, but I'm making this about me now.
Oh, fair enough.
There was a lovely Stingray skateboard,
which I assumed
was from the 90s, but I'm told was from the 60s and was in TV21 being offered as this amazing new kids thing from the US.
Right, a skateboard,
A Stingray skateboard. Yeah. A really, really nice UFO skydiver from Japan from 1970 in a very fetching shade of deep blue.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was rather lovely.
Mm-hmm. There was an SPV-shaped box of tissues.
People talked about this, but I didn't see it.
No, in the 90s, yes. Did you dream that?
No,
I heard others mention it too, but I didn't see it myself. And I also particularly enjoyed the Waddington's Progress puzzle of behind-the-scenes photos from AP Films, which seems like the least child-friendly jigsaw puzzle I can imagine.
Having a fag, having a coffee.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, they were lovely behind-the-scenes photos, but I just thought, as far as kids... Yeah. Toys and stuff go. That doesn't seem very interesting, but it did have a nice colour picture of Dad on there, which I quite liked.
Yeah, so not interesting perhaps then, but certainly interesting to us now.
Oh, yeah.
So thank God they did make those strange jigsaw puzzles.
So an amazing array of stuff. Now, Saturday just gone, or the one before, was the VIP launch, and I got to meet lots and lots of lovely fans.
Yes.
Some of whom,
we.
Yeah, oh, yes, you did. Sorry, I'm again making all that mean.
We were there, you know.
Sorry. We got to meet lots and lots of lovely fans, including some who had travelled from way up north. Some who'd come from across the channel.
Yeah, that's right.
Alan, who'd come from near Brittany.
Right.
Who was a big Space 1999 fan. And some of my favourite things from the day, in terms of meeting people, we met the grandson of Jack Rosenthal. as in JR21 toys.
Okay.
So that was quite cool. I met a fan who has actually flown in the real Thunderbird 6.
Whoa!
There can't be many of those.
That's nice. Something we need to arrange.
Absolutely.
And several who brought in lovely pictures from when they were kids as them dressed up as characters or playing with toys. Yeah. And that was really lovely. So lots of lovely memories, lots of smiles, a few laughs, a couple of tears of nostalgia, happy tears.
Oh,
happy
good.
Tears.
Happy tears. Well, you didn't pinch someone again, did you?
it was a good kicking this time. No. It was all very friendly and lovely. And it's such a lovely display, co-curated by Malcolm Garrett and Alice Kane of the Museum of Brands. Mm. And the lovely thing that's happened with this, I think, is the bringing together of collectors. Mm. Collectors who so often, understandably, protect their precious things at home in boxes or on shelves, and nobody really gets to enjoy them other than the collectors. They've earned it, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think 15 or more collectors have come together to share their collections with the world, and I think that's a very lovely thing.
And some of the rarities in there, I remember someone saying, I can't remember what it was, but someone said, oh, there's only 3 of these left in the entire world, as far as we know. And it's like...
Was that the Fireball push-along that was returned? I think it was.
Right.
So there's a Fireball toy which had the sparky flint thing with when you push it along the table.
Yeah.
And the sparks failed after a few weeks or months. And lots of them were returned to be replaced. But then Stingray came along. I'm repeating this story from one of the collectors.
Yes, good.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
This is a fab fact, actually.
Oh, yay!
Ah! and they said instead, well, rather than a replacement of the old toy, would you like a lovely Stingray instead? Oh. And most people took the Stingray.
Mm.
So there were very few of those toys still in existence.
Right. God.
But there were prototypes in there and books, publishing stuff, comics, magazines.
Yeah.
Costumes, from all over the world.
And things from all over the world, yeah. It was lovely. This is genuine enthusiasm.
Oh, I know, and it was a wonderful day, and it's a fantastic
everything
exhibition.
From, I think, is it Twizzle right the way through to Space Precinct?
Yeah. Precinct, that's right. Yeah.
Although there was no orange toy.
No orange toy.
Embarrassingly.
I know, it was a bit awkward, wasn't it? I almost threw a hissy fit, but I contained myself.
You're a professional.
Almost. Chris, you were telling us, telling me about a couple of things that you used to have that you had bought from, was it Primark?
TK Maxx. I bought the Product Enterprise Fireball XL5 and Supercar models for £8 on clearance.
From TK Maxx?
From TK Maxx. They had loads of Product Enterprise stuff, and I eBayed them when I needed money, and now they go for silly money. And I don't have that kind of money to spend.
Many hundreds
of
pounds.
I regret it.
Yes.
Gosh. Well, TK Maxx, if you'd like to sponsor the Gerry Anderson podcast.
Oh, that's a great idea. Need to
email us. Podcast.
Bear in mind, this was 15 years ago. I think they've moved out of the collectibles thing. But we could introduce certain things.
Now, David, was it David who was the what provided many of the items from his own personal
David
collection?
Griffiths, he very kindly provided lots of stuff.
Huge Stingray fan, and was telling me how basically he had become Troy Tempest. In that he had become a scuba diver and teacher, and he actually wore a World Aquanaut Security Patrol patch on his arm.
Nice.
And would tell his students when they asked what it was, oh, I work for the WASB, But yes, he had become Troy Tempest, which is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
It
and we also saw there so Ben Rimmer had brought along his Scott Tracy puppet that used to belong to his dad, Shane.
Yes.
And there were several items of Shane's there as well, weren't there?
Yes.
In addition to
And, of course,
father's.
Dad's collection, which is there for another week or so before it goes back to the family home.
Now, a few comments I've seen online have been from people saying, well, is it going to be touring? Can we see this exhibition anywhere else? Or
not currently, no. It's been such an undertaking to bring it together.
Yeah.
Honestly, there was a point where I think the curators thought, oh, I'm not sure we can have enough to fill a room.
Right.
And now there's enough to fill two quite big rooms.
Yes.
It's possible we might look at it in the future, but it's one of those where it's probably not going to go anywhere else, particularly in this big collected form.
Yeah, I mean, if I owned even a fraction of this stuff, I'd be a bit reticent in like allowing it to go around the country just in case of little things going missing here.
Yeah, a lot of relationship building has been done in order to secure it for the Museum of Brands. So if you can make it there, do go. It's lovely, and also you with your entry, you also get to go through the Museum of Brands time
which is amazing,
which is crazy. It's like 150 years of advertising, marketing, toys, licensed stuff. Really fascinating.
Yeah. Now, also, isn't there something happening in Slough I saw online?
There is indeed
an exhibition in Slough as well.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Next month, isn't
it? Arranged by our very own Terry Adlam.
Hooray!
Oh, Terry boy!
We'll be posting some more information about that in due course.
Good. Cool.
Are we talking about the cinema screenings that have just been
in Let's talk about that in a moment, because I want to head straight on to our Potstron.
I got so excited.
Hold on to your excitement a little bit longer if you can.
Okay.
Because on our Facebook group, I asked people to supply me with their fondest memories of Thunderbirds. Open up your script, Jamie, because we've got a few messages to read.
I was looking at my coffee.
Yeah, so. That's right. Chris, do you want to take the first one there from Emily Woodthorpe?
I shall indeed take the first one from Emily Woodthorpe.
Yes, I just said
who
that.
Says? I know.
Well, go on, that's right. I'm sure she's enjoying hearing her name twice.
Hi, Emily Woodthorpe.
Hi. One of my earliest memories is being 3 years old, watching Day of Disaster at my granddad's.
Great.
With a cup of Sunny D in my hands. Neon orange yellow liquid that stains quite badly. I was just taken aback by the need to explain Sunny Delight, but there are people who will not know that.
But I do like the idea of a neon orange.
I also like that.
Yeah.
The astronauts have been rescued in the nose cone, and headless rocket takes off, zigzags through the air, stalls, drum roll. Explodey bang!
Oh no.
Really? I jumped and spilt Sunny D all over my granddad's sofa.
Shame. Oh no. Oh,
well, hang on to that Sunny D, Emily, because here's that moment from Day of Disaster.
Lovely. My favourite bit, the bubbles.
Yeah, lovely bubbles.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I love this. Smashing through the surface as well.
Yeah, keep a tight hold of that cup, Emily.
And then... Oh, dear.
One, two, three.
Gosh.
Perfect.
Cool.
I almost spilled my coffee.
Yes.
Presumably that's why they don't sell Sunny D anymore, because of Thunderbirds related accidents on Grandad's sofa. Yes. No other reason.
Ensuing lawsuits.
Yes.
Well, Richard, I'll surprise you tonight. I've got one here from Jonathan Bell.
Oh, yeah. That is a surprise.
Jonathan Bell writes, my earliest Thunderbirds memory is watching the Channel 5 video that my dad got me and him telling me about the great Gerry Anderson series itself. Ooh. I was about 7 years old. I was instantly hooked when I heard 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I thought, well, this show looks great.
Yeah.
Then they started the early 90s repeats, and I thought, lucky me. I recorded all the episodes on VHS. You cheeky bugger.
Yeah.
Then I went to the FAB stage show, also with my dad.
I remember it well.
And I enjoyed that show too. Sadly, my dad passed away last year, and I always treasure my memories of watching Thunderbirds with him back then. Oh, isn't that lovely, have those shared memories, which is what so many people, and actually Museum of Brands, there was a lot of people coming over and saying, you know, the formative memories watching it with grandparents, parents, siblings, all sorts of stuff.
Sure. Scott Sadler says, my journey and obsession began at the age of five with a VHS tape volume one for a birthday present. I have no doubt that Thunderbirds and the Worlds of Gerry Anderson would have come into my life at some point, being a James Bond fan too, and the obvious connections, but I'm glad it came first and at an age where I gave my childhood to collecting the toys and everything that I could get my hands on. Yeah, that's sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing Thunderbirds for the first time?
Well, I think everybody did, so...
Well, I suppose so, but let me put it another way. Can you imagine what effect that had upon you?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. No, because it looks completely different. No matter when you first came across Thunderbirds, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, it looked different to anything else. Obviously, if you'd grown up with the AP films and Century 21 TV shows evolving along with you, again, like many of our kind of first generation Positrons, Jonathan Ross and others, when you felt it was being made for you, you were used to the kind of Super Mario Nation and effects stuff. But others...
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen anything quite like
these
little mini films on your tiny black and white TV screen.
And that is
then.
What I feel is one of the major successful qualities of the show, is that they are huge epic cinema movies that don't quite realise that they're going to be shown on television. It's just the spectacle for a small screen.
Yes, I think we also have to give a little shout out to the music as well, of course. I think that British children of the 60s were born knowing the Thunderbirds march and the James Bond theme.
Yes,
this is part of the DNA, wasn't it?
There's so many little nods that you can give to, again, the voice actors.
Yeah,
you know, when Scott Tracy says, we got 2 minutes before this building falls over and explodes and crashes crashes into the sun. I absolutely believe it.
And it's famous line.
Can I have that as my ringtone,
please? Yeah, go on.
I'll snip that out. Thank
but that's just, you know, Shane Rimmer, David Graham, obviously, Ray Barrett, Matt Zimmerman, all those wonderful voices. And the directors as well, who treated it as a grown-up drama.
Yes,
it made all the difference.
Because then you have the interpersonal relationships between all the characters as well. Vital. Yeah.
But the heroic voices of a generation, a voice that you knew you were into kind of drama and action and heroism.
That's right. However, Emily Davis says, I remember watching Thunderbirds last year for the first time ever.
Oh, well, there you go.
So whenever we were talking about Thunderbirds on here...
Did you not make that?
Maybe I'm going to keep with this Lavender Castle thing that I'm watching, or Torchy or something.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
You will know if you've been watching the podcast that about this point we have a mission briefing for our guests, just to clue them in to whatever random episode we'll be watching on the Random.
It's a very popular part of the programme.
Yes, but slightly different this month. But... just coming off Emily's message there about only having recently saw Thunderbirds, it struck me, of course, there may be people watching who've never watched Thunderbirds. They may be Gerry Anderson fans and have just not thought they would be interested in watching Thunderbirds.
They may be Space Precinct fans and thought, I just love the live action and Richard James so much. Why watch anything without him in it?
Well, there are a lot of people in that cohort, I have to say. So I thought
I think they're both in the audience here.
Yes. Hi, Ross. Hi, Charlotte. Ross has just looked up. Hey, what?
Oh, we've woken him up. Sorry.
So I thought it might be useful to have our usual mission briefing just to clue those people in at home who have never seen Thunderbirds.
Well, and me.
And you, obviously. Thank you. Take a look at this.
Thunderbirds first launched onto British television in 1965, and for many fans remains the pinnacle of the Gerry Anderson legacy.
Any more information?
The series centered around the exploits of International Rescue, a global response organization founded by billionaire ex-astronaut Jeff Tracy on a beautiful island somewhere in the Pacific. His five sons, each named after a real-life astronaut, took control of the five Thunderbirds machines, a fleet of rescue craft designed by the engineering genius Brains. Jeff Tracy could also call on a worldwide
network. What a great chant that is.
Isn't it? Why don't we have one of those in the JM's store?
Lee Crichton Ward and her faithful manservant Parker, who carried out their missions in style in the famous pink Rolls-Royce Fab One.
Home, my lady.
Home, Parker.
Oh,
lovely.
Covers everybody.
There we are. Well done, Chris. That's a Thunderbirds primer that you can find on the Gerry Anderson YouTube channel. Along with many others, of course. Just about every show?
Every show, every film, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there no stone left unturned there?
No, I mean, we haven't done the GFI primer yet. That's always...
Let's not talk about that.
Right. Yeah. Now, something else that's happening in the worlds of Thunderbirds. It's happening right now, actually, as this podcast goes out. You may have already been to your local cinema or one nearby to see what...
Oh, Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds.
Double bill restored in 4K, Trapped in the Sky, and Terror in New York City.
Amazing.
Nice.
So how did this come about, Jamie? Who approached who, and what work was needed?
Well, it all started with the idea of doing a 4K disc initially, didn't it?
Yes.
And it was going to be... just Trapped in the Sky.
Yep.
And then I think we said, well, if we're doing one episode, why not do two?
Might as well do two.
It doesn't cost any more. It's fine.
Right.
It does cost a lot more. It costs exactly the same again.
Yes.
So it was definitely more expensive, but it felt like it was worth doing celebration-wise. And I think it was Chris who picked Terror in New York City.
Yes.
Right. The second episode.
I did see some people asking recently, well, why not Pit of Peril?
You're going to get as many questions like that as there are.
It's my fault, and I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Blame Chris. I do for everything else.
Yeah.
So off the back of doing that, I thought, well, it would be amazing to get it in a few cinema screens.
20 tops.
Yes. So I spoke to a couple of distributors, and they said, oh, it's a lovely idea. You do realise this will just be for promotional purposes. It's going to cost you money rather than earn you anything. But I persisted.
Yeah.
They were very... pragmatic in saying we might only get 5 or 10
Do you
screens.
Mean rude?
I don't know. Let's not say that. And yes, so we approached the cinemas and said, "Would you like to book it?" And within 48 hours, we had 20 screens, and then the day later, we had 50, and then at the end of that week, we had 100.
Oh, really?
And by the time you may have well seen it, it's been in 250 screens across the UK and Ireland, which is amazing. I mean, there are new independent films that don't get into that many screens, so it's a real coup for Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
I mean, ITV are thrilled. They're thrilled that it is, as they described it, the hot ticket.
Yes, ooh, I like it.
And although it is this weekend only, pretty much, there are certain cinemas running it through October as well, I believe. Do check your local cinema. Mm-hmm.
In fact, based on the success of the booking so far, there are a few doing on-calls that will run through more of September and into October. So do keep an eye. And also, if you didn't get to see it and you want your local cinema to show it, then just let them know.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. So we don't go out and dictate, we want all of the Odeons, please, and these picture houses. Yes. It is completely up to the cinema bookers to take a film and to put screenings on.
Right.
And a lot of the time they do it by demand. So if you demand, they might do it.
Yes. If you demand it, they will come.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yes. But demand in a nice way.
Oh, of course. Yeah, always. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Any future plans for anything similar, do you think? Or is that...
Well, off the back of this, I'm quite optimistic that we might be able to do it again.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, you know, we have restored Breakaway in 4K.
Oh.
Yeah, that might be quite cool, but it isn't quite long enough to...
Do another one.
We have to do that. What one would you do, Chris? Strange Domain?
Of course. No, let's do something from Series 2. Let's do The Rules of Luton.
Right.
Train go off people, isn't it?
Yes. Interesting. Now, let's get back to the people who count, really. Our wonderful Podstrons who've been leaving their memories connected with Thunderbirds. So there's one there from Peach for you.
There's one here from Peach for me.
Yeah, cool.
For me.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, I have to say, it's not just for you, but you can read it out.
Okay. Peach says, my earliest memory of Thunderbirds was watching Trapped in the Sky when I was 7 or 8 years old, which started a lifelong crush on Scott Tracy.
Oh.
We hear quite a few people who have a bit of a crush on Scott
Nicola
Tracy.
Bryant.
And Sophie. Yes. And probably one or two others.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. My friends absolutely loved Thunderbirds too, and we played it in the school playground. Traded Thunderbirds cards. My first online purchase years later was a complete set.
Nice.
And watched it at each other's houses. I was the lucky one who got Tracy Island, the Matchbox models, annual, Thunderbirds VHS that Christmas, and I was the happiest child around for ages.
Nice.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
I still have Tracy Island. I got it out to clean this week and was amazed to find the batteries are still working.
Oh.
And there's Peaches.
There it is. Yes.
Oh, lovely.
If not the original batteries, then they're at least 25 years old.
Wow.
Now, I had that one too, and I see Peaches lost the top of one of the trees. I think I've lost about 3 or 4 of mine,
unfortunately.
And the nose cone of Thunderbirds.
Do you know sometimes, and I had this a lot at the Museum of Brands exhibition, you look at a toy and you can remember some very tactile quality about it, like the material, the weight of it.
Mm-hmm.
For this, the staircase, the diving board by the pool, being the mechanism for closing the pool, I can just feel it now. The twist, isn't that weird?
And I can remember that brown bit just behind the chimney on the villa.
Yeah.
I remember that was kind of slightly loose on mine.
Oh.
And I never thought of that until just looking at that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they can bring back really tactile memories.
Yeah. And that shared memory of the palm trees snapping off, as you mentioned, Chris, as well.
Yeah, they were quite brittle.
I never snapped my palm trees.
Wow.
Okay, fair enough. One there from Matthew Edmonds for you, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. Matthew Edmonds writes, I was lucky to be exactly the right age for the 90s reruns. Me too, Matthew, me too. I was obsessed with Thunderbirds, Stingray and Captain Scarlet, and we have a photo of young me with a homemade Thunderbird 2 birthday cake. That's so lovely. Look at that. He continues, I remember watching Terror in New York City, great choice, for the first time and being completely taken in by it.
Uh-huh.
The idea that anyone might move a whole building was mind-blowing.
Yes.
And I loved it when it all came down. Ooh, very destructive there. And of course, Barry Gray's music just added to the excitement. That was the episode when Thunderbird 4 became my favourite, and the new large-scale model is fantastic. I'm very glad you're happy with it. My parents somehow managed to get me a Tracy Island playset, and our cat liked playing with it too to sharpen his teeth.
Oh, wow.
I hope you didn't do the same, Matthew. The trees on the Thunderbird 2 launch pad were soon completely chewed
up.
Cat-related
palm tree damage.
I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah.
Now I'm sharing Thunderbirds with my young son, and I'm happy that he loves it as much as I do.
Great, fab
parenting one to get.
And you've got a built-in sequel to Attack of the Alligators there. Kong storming Tracy Island.
I'm sure the Goodies did something similar, didn't they?
But yeah, this would be a bit more dramatic.
Is it time to talk about the Thunderbird 4 that we have in front of us here?
Well, yes.
As you mentioned, talk all aspects. Thunderbird 4.
Can I caveat this as we go in?
Oh yes.
So this is my actual one of our large-scale Thunderbird 4s.
Right.
Which I was very excited to receive, as many hundreds, thousand plus of you are. Now, a small number of our Thunderbird 4s were unfortunately damaged in transit.
Oh, no.
And I was also a victim of this.
Oh.
So let me just pick this up for viewers at home.
Yes.
You might be wondering how I got here. Yes, so for about 20 or 30 out of all the models, which is not that many, but it's still too many, the lovely light scoop at the front snapped off in transit, which is rather sad. Now, if you are a victim of this, like me, no need to call Crime Stoppers. just email support@gerryanderson.com and Louise, Anna, or Tim, or Michael will help you out and just send out a replacement. No questions asked.
Yeah, fair enough.
We can't say better than that. But yeah, it's very annoying when things like that happen, but especially when you're so excited. And it is so blooming gorgeous.
It is.
And it's weighty and it's just a lovely, lovely thing. So it's very disappointing when that happens. But yes, we'll replace it. And I will be soon, hopefully, getting my replacement
too. Oh, good.
But very soon, the next one of these will be coming out.
Ooh. Okay.
Thunderbird 1. And we've we've been working very, very hard to get the paint job just right.
Yeah.
So it's had, I think, 7 iterations.
Right.
And now it looks like Thunderbird 1 in its launch bay at the end of the countdown as it blasts off.
Right.
It's lovely.
Didn't we have the prototype of that in when we did the Thunderbirds evening live stream here?
Probably did. Yes. And it was not... the paint wasn't up to scratch, but now it is.
Ooh.
So there you go. That's an exclusive, I think.
Yeah, well done. What I really love about this Thunderbird 4 is the cockpit. The fact that it isn't just like a black screen.
It's a very detailed little cockpit.
Yes, lovely.
No Gordon in there, I'm afraid.
No, fair enough.
He absented himself. But yes, there you go. There's a few of these left, but it is such a lovely model, and it does Thunderbird 4 justice quite well, I think.
Chris and everybody have done a fantastic job with
that. Yes, well done, team.
Yeah. Richard Crane, just going back to our viewers' as I like to call them.
Why are we calling them that?
Well, it's short for memory, isn't it? It's called MEMS, etc.
Okay, I've got it.
My first memory, I'm going to say MEM, my first MEM of Thunderbirds, says Richard Crane, was the scene of the hood in his professor disguise with his glowing yellow eyes.
Any
questions?
Yes.
Of course, you can't tell through the disguise that it's the hood, can you?
No.
Very subtle.
It is. Moustache glasses.
I wonder where he gets his wigs from. Just asking for a friend.
Right.
The atom runs for the nearest cover and hides, like any real mouse. Are you satisfied, Professor?
Yes, I am. Very satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Specs are quite cool. The specs are quite cool, actually, aren't they?
They are very cool specs. Oh. Yes, you can see why this might have an impact on a young child.
Yeah.
And I always wonder where this idea came from, if it was something as simple as, we could put lights in this puppet head, should we do that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was me.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh, brilliant.
Then later in the same episode, says Richard, I recall seeing the mighty atom mouse moving around inside the atomic station and very vaguely... Lady Penelope aboard Thunderbird 2.
That's right, yeah, she insists on going out to the rescue.
He says it wasn't until the 1999-2000 revival when I learnt that very episode was called The Mighty Atom, and then the following week, kicking off with The Vault of Death in November 1991 when I was 5 years old, my parents recorded many episodes of Thunderbirds on VHS videos. I mean, there's a lot of home recording going along, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except at my house, for some reason, I never thought to.
No.
No.
I think I had Vault of Death, and that was it for a long time.
Mm.
Gosh.
I can't wait, says Richard, for the Thunderbird 60th anniversary saga Hidden Dangers. I hope that there will be more audiobooks in CD format featuring the new voice cast. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I might not want to.
Oh, Chris?
I don't know that
much. No, I can tell you. I'm just being a tease. Yeah, so if you enjoyed Deadly Uprising, the Stingray saga.
As I know some people did, because I met one of them in HMV yesterday.
Oh, yes. How lovely.
Ezra stopped me to say how much they enjoyed Deadly Uprising.
Are you sure
Deadly
it wasn't the other way around and you stopped Ezra? And just
tell me
how much you thrust a book into their hand. No.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
There you go.
Lovely,
that's very nice. We know lots of people enjoy Deadly Uprising. Hidden Dangers is our anniversary project for Thunderbirds.
Right.
So these stories all take place before, during, so therefore in parallel with, or after existing episodes from the original series.
Right.
So you can instantly place them. So if your favourite characters were absent in a particular story, perhaps you'd be able to find out what they were up to. If there was a mention of a rescue in a story and you never actually saw it on screen, well, maybe we'll find a way to tell
it. I like it.
So this is a short story anthology, is it?
In the first case, we're doing multiple bits from the Hidden Dangers range. The first piece is a collection of short stories. We've got some great names in there to be announced. It's really, really lovely. And that bit of the Hidden Dangers saga is called International Rescues.
Ah, nice. Who thought of that?
I mean, genius.
I wish I'd been in that meeting.
James Swallow came up with
that.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. It was either AC or James Swallow. Let's give them both credit.
Right.
It was one of the two.
Yeah.
So that's really lovely. We're also now beginning work on a comic collection.
Right.
Lovely hardback volume. All new stories, all Hidden Dangers. And we are also in the process of developing up some audio stuff for you as well.
Oh, lovely. Ooh.
And who knows what else might be around the corner. But yes, Hidden Dangers is not quite go, but will be soon.
Okay.
And news on that to follow.
It's been a while since we had audio Thunderbirds Adventures, isn't it?
It's been several years, I think.
Really?
That long?
Time flies. Since, I can't even remember the title of it.
Danger and Deception, Fire and Fury, or
was the second one.
One of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
But part of the problem is our voice cast are very busy.
Yes.
They're very busy,
so
yes.
Trying to get
them
all together. Doing
lots of things.
You employ people who are pretty good at their jobs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You should employ idiots who don't know what they're doing.
We'll do it.
Because they're always available, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah. Always looking for work.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, there's more to come. Lots going on. The problem is bandwidth for us, isn't it, Chris? I mean, you are ridiculously busy doing sorts of Thunderbirds-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also quite busy doing things.
Yes,
all sorts of things.
There's lots going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just can't get through as much as we'd like to. But I think we've done pretty well, actually, for Thunderbirds 60 in terms of getting cool stuff out for you. Hopefully you agree, Podstrawls.
Yes.
If not, don't write in.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, before we press the randomizer button to see what we'll be watching in a couple of weeks' time, and before we have a fab fact about Thunderbirds, Scott McLeakey was wondering if there's going to be a live stream for a sort of Thunderbird celebration this year. So I thought, well, that may or may not happen, but what happened during a live stream last time we'd done? Oh, Super Magnification, I thought. So would you like to play here on the Gerry Anderson podcast a couple of quick rounds of Super Magnification?
A couple?
Just to keep Scott McLeakey
happy.
The
enthusiasm from this side of the table is overwhelming.
No.
Let me try again.
What?
Ooh, really?
Okay, you ready for this? It's just two. So let's start with the first one. So here we have a detail from a scene from a Thunderbirds episode. Zoomed right in, as you can tell by the blurry resolution.
Yes.
I think Chris might have it.
I think
just,
I might.
Just by the look in his eye.
Just possibly, yeah.
Do you know what I
mean? Can you tell by the vacant look in mine? I don't. I mean, I would say it looks either like some detail from a close-up on a vehicle.
Right.
However, I think it looks maybe a little bit too irregular to be that.
Sure.
And going by its irregularity of its edges, I would say it might be some detail on a costume.
Right.
Costume.
Good. I like that. I like your style.
But what part of a costume?
Well, that's ridiculous.
I think it might be something that Richard has got at the moment, but you and I don't have.
Hey.
I was going to say a beard, but I'm halfway beardy, so it's not that.
What do you think, Chris, then?
I think it might be the sleeve on someone's
wrist,
maybe. I think it might be Jeff Tracy's sleeve.
Close!
There
we are, taken
Alan's
from...
sleeve.
Now, this is an episode, Chris. correct me if I'm wrong, it's Move and You're Dead,
isn't it? Move and You're Dead, yes. AKA Grandma Stuck on a Bridge.
Exactly. So, yes, that's the costume, you see.
Yeah. That's lovely.
So you were right there.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah,
right. You ready for another one?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm almost
Chris
confused.
Is raring to go. Okay. Now I've changed my mind. Squint your eyes and imagine what you might say, because obviously it's very out of focus.
But then go to the back of the room. And
that might help. Yeah. Any ideas? Nothing.
Our audience is falling asleep.
Yeah. Yes, what do you think?
I feel like it might be something to do with, like, the pod door.
Think more of a building.
Building?
A particular building.
It's Thompson Tower.
No.
Not that building.
Think about why...
The Empire State Building.
No, think about celebrating at the moment.
The Moxie Hotel
So we're celebrating the 60th anniversary of Thunderbirds. So...
And also, if you're listening to this, what we're basically staring at is some grey and white.
Very, very zoomed in screen grab. This doesn't work on audio.
It's impossible to know what it is.
Look, it's from the first ever scene from the first ever episode of Thunderbirds.
Of course
it is.
How could we not know that?
I'm going to hand in my Thunderbirds fan membership. It's just not worth it anymore.
Yes, Chris, I'm disappointed.
There you go. But I mean, you'll be relieved to hear there's only two of them.
Oh, no.
What a terrible shame.
However, let's talk about something much more exciting, which is the Thunderbirds Blu-rays.
Oh, yes.
Which I think are kind of on their way, aren't they?
They're being manufactured now.
Yeah.
As you listen to these words.
Okay, good.
So that's exciting. I mean, Chris has been working his socks off.
Oh, quite a few of us have, yes.
Yes, well, absolutely. I mean, Chris, do you want to name check all of those currently involved in bringing this all together?
Well, there's me and thee.
Well, I'm not really doing anything, but yes.
There's Joe Spray, the producer. There's various people who are doing tech work that I don't know their names of.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Yes.
But there's Stephen Thwaites.
Ben Page has been doing some QC.
AC and QC.
QC was a big, big issue. That's a separate thing. That's more something that we've sort of blotted out as a collective trauma. We should probably say that we were hoping for this to be out sort of much sooner than it is.
Yes, but it's fortunate that we spent so much time trying to get it right, I would say.
Yes, quite right. Because previous versions, or the previous remaster from, I think it was Japan in 2011, mm-hmm. the masters that we're using, come with certain flaws and defects certain episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not many, mm-hmm. but enough to warrant us kind of going back to old film materials and making fixes where we can.
Yes.
Not everything has been fixable, but 95% of it has, I would say.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there's shots where, for some reason, we couldn't figure out a random shot was incredibly zoomed in. We went back to the original film materials and brought it back out to the full original shot.
I see.
We've got, famously, in Operation Crash Dive, there's a shot of a fire flash taking off that was damaged in that episode. It was exclusive to that episode and it was damaged, so they'd copied and pasted in a shot from another episode. Mm. We went back to the original shot.
Mm.
And it's little fixes like that all the way along.
Lovely. Yeah. Okay.
And also the soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's taken a while.
Yeah. Lots of extra features.
Lots of extra features. Should we go through those? Are we able to?
As much as you can remember, Chris.
We've ported over all of the archive stuff from the previous UK Blu-ray release, the widescreen version. We've also got the new Thunderbirds documentary from Take the Shot Films, which is an hour and a half of Thunderbirds goodness, which you can now see on ITVX as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have got some new audio commentaries.
Yes.
I believe 6 is the number that we're aiming
for. Which is
nice.
Great.
Yes. Because as you said, Chris, Thunderbirds being one of the first home entertainment releases that came out.
No commentaries at all.
Nobody bothered to do it.
Of course.
No, there were commentaries for the Thunderbirds movies, but not the TV show, incredibly. Yeah. And the trouble now is that most people are sort of, a lot of people who worked on the show are kind of existentially challenged. Mm. Some of the ones who are still around, we did try to reach out to, but it just wasn't possible to sort of make that happen.
So we have got some archive voices.
We've got an archive voice commentary, yes. And then we've got several commentaries from people who worked on later versions of Thunderbirds, which I think is maybe the best way to go, because I'm not sure that anyone wants to hear dry old fan expert commentaries, but let's kind of.
Who are you calling me?
Just droning on. But let's keep it in the family with the anniversary episodes and the stage show and the audio drama and the 2004 movie. So yes,
nice
various people.
Nice perspectives.
That's right.
And also Fabblebox.
Oh yes, we have a new little Super Mario Nation mini episode, which
Did
has
you
been
say Fabblebox.
Fabblebox. Yes. Kind of gives some insight All into right. what the story is about. Yes. Lady Penelope and Parker.
Yeah.
Back on your screens in Super Mario Nation form as well. The voices are performed by our own Thunderbirds voice cast, John Coleshaw and Genevieve Gaunt.
Mm-hmm. And Justin T. Lee.
And Justin T. Lee, who is also one of the puppeteers, along with Lindsay Lee. So it's a little 20-minute Super Mario Nation mini-adventure with Penelope and Parker, and I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah, quite meta, quite tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, and I wrote it.
And Chris wrote it and produced it.
Great.
Yeah.
So. Well, amazing. I was talking to someone at the Museum of Brands last weekend, and they were saying, you know, what show that's being made today will be celebrated in 60 years' time? And I thought, well, do you know what? I think in 60 years' time, we'll still be celebrating Thunderbirds. We'll be celebrating 120 years of Thunderbirds rather than 60 years,
60 years of this podcast.
Yes, Chris and I will be 100, and you'll be...
Oh, no, don't. But, I mean, it does... I think it's here forever, isn't it?
I hope so. Yeah. As much as anything can be. Yeah,
yes,
I hope so.
That's right. Yeah, there we go. Let's have some more of our viewers' memes, shall we?
Oh, lovely memes.
One for you there, Chris.
Yes, this is from James Pilson Wood, who says, I have a Thunderbirds memory.
Excellent, let's
That's good,
it.
That's what we need.
Yes.
My dad tipping over the sofa to make a den for me and my sisters to watch it in, hiding in it when the countdown was starting. I like this. Now it's something I pass down to my children. Even just today, they were playing with my Tracy Island playsets.
Ah, nice.
Playsets, plural. He's got more than one, so this is very good parenting.
Yeah.
The models this year have been phenomenal, seeing the detail in them, and the quality has been amazing. The Blu-ray set has to be a highlight. We have never seen Thunderbirds like this before, which will be the thrill.
There you go. Yes. Absolutely.
Gorgeous models, yes.
Lots to look forward to. I have one from Willow, who says, I'm getting a tattoo of John Tracy on Thunderbirds Day, designed by the amazing Lee Sullivan.
Oh, nice.
Uh-oh. And I just bought a personalised number plate, TB64FAB, to show the world that Thunderbirds are still go.
Nice.
Okay. Isn't that amazing?
Good work, Willow.
Yeah, really good.
That's very cool.
And a final one there for you, Jamie.
From Paul Davis.
Yes.
Paul says, it makes me smile when people talk about their first Thunderbirds memory because I honestly can't remember not knowing about Thunderbirds when I first watching it. It's just always been something that's been there and that I loved. I was part of the 1990s BBC repeats generation. That's how I found it, along with the other Super Mario Nation series that were reshown at the time. The models, explosions and music were what mesmerised me the most. Fair.
Yeah.
However, my abiding memory is having a VHS collection of both the series and the two films. I used to watch them back to back every half term or school holiday for years in the 1990s.
Mm.
Lovely, Paul.
Lovely, yes.
Incredible. It's such a shared experience, isn't it?
And cross generation. So it doesn't matter whether you watched it on black and white on a little tiny telly in the 60s or in the 90s or 2000s or more recently, or you've never even watched Thunderbirds at all until now.
Yes.
But why Thunderbirds and not Captain Scarlet, Stingray? I know they have their fans.
Well,
but
I mean,
why
people have mentioned the 90s repeats. And I guess it's like that's always the first one that gets repeated. And if that does well, let's have Stingray, let's have Scarlet, let's have the rest.
Yeah.
But as to what it has on its own, I think it's the movie quality, the visuals, but also the family side of it. The warmth and the...
I think that is it, Chris. Because I think they all touch on the family connection, but the Thunderbirds most plainly, most obviously. And there's something relatable in there, whether you are an only child, you had siblings, you grew up with one or both parents or another, you know, a guardian, whatever, there's something immediately relatable that puts you into the show so you can connect with it in a way that you can't with any of the others. And also it's, you know, aspirational. Yes, you had the kind of aspirational elements of Stingray or Scarlet, but on a backdrop of war, essentially.
Yes, let's go and blow something up.
Whereas Thunderbirds was plainly aspirational, selfless, positive. And I think those two things are what give it its kind of thematic longevity to me anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Talking of thematic longevity.
yes.
What could this possibly be?
Now.
Oh, time for Fab Facts.
Right, here we go. Thematic longevity. Now, Jane, you've just had to reach over there. This is the first time in a long time, isn't it? Because it's Thunderbird's special 60th anniversary edition of the Jerry Anderson podcast. Let's have a very special Fab Fact. So, Jamie, I'd like you to flick through the book. Chris, perhaps you could shout Fab.
Oh, yeah.
And when Chris shouts Fab, let's see on which page you have rested and what is this month's Fab Fact.
I'm so out of practice. Fab! Oh, well, this... Would you believe it? It's a Thunderbird's Fab Fact.
Oh, fantastic.
Almost unbelievably.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. What the chances. Yeah. Anyway, this Fab Fact says... Mm-hmm. Thunderbirds is loved by fans and casual viewers alike.
True.
Yep, yep.
Great, is that it?
Checks out. Yep, yep. Okay, we're done.
For its high quality models and effects.
Uh-huh.
But those models and effects came at a price.
Ooh. Right. Yes, what price?
I'm getting there.
Tell me, going down to Woolworths and buying a model kit.
Yeah. And blowing it up.
And blowing it up.
A bit more than that, I think. Yeah.
Each episode of Thunderbirds cost £22,000 to produce back in 1964.
Right.
That's just over £500,000 in today's money, according to an online inflation calculator.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you probably went on crew rates and stuff, it's even more than that now. Yeah.
I think it'd probably double that.
Anyway, so where was this money spent?
Your dad's limo.
Yes.
His Rolls-Royce fund. No, no, apparently not. Tracy Island alone was 2.44 metres. That would be 8 feet in old money in diameter. Is that how you measure islands in diameter? I suppose so.
Well, how would you measure an island? In hands?
Maximum width?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
But that's the diameter, isn't it?
Stop it! And six sculptors and two prop makers were employed to make the original puppets, each of which was one third life size. Well, we know that very well, don't we?
Yes.
The 2 meter or 7 foot long version of Lady Penelope's Rolls Royce Fab One cost only £2,000 to build. That's £51,000 in today's prices.
Wow.
And that one's now owned by Peter Jackson, isn't it?
Yes.
I wonder what he paid for it. I'll have to find out. On average, 4.5 minutes of each 50-minute episode of Thunderbirds was shot per day.
Right.
And film stock isn't cheap.
No.
Add to this the hiring of the studio and the office space, wage costs, lighting, editing, effects, special effects, and perhaps we can see where that £22,000 price tag came from.
Yeah, yes. Fair enough. Mm. Yes.
Luckily for us, there was one woman who showed us how to build our very own Tracy Island for nothing.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Yes. I think I know where this is going.
In 1993, to counter the scarcity of the official Tracy Island toy in the shops, Blue Peter's Anthea Turner showed us how to make our own using yogurt pots, tissue boxes, and of course, some sticky back plastic.
Now, Saint Anthea.
As chance would have it, I think I've got a clip of that.
Oh, really?
Right here. Wow.
Should we have a look at that?
Yes, yes, please.
Here we go.
Now, if you can find Tracy Island in the shops, and it's not easy, it could cost you as much as
£34.99. £34.99?
What's that adjusted for inflation?
You could double that easily. Yeah. Off she goes. Yogurt pots. Yep. Oh, toilet roll.
She was fast, wasn't she?
Yeah, I have sped the film up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of tinfoil.
Yeah. Oh, the paint works wonders, isn't it?
Yeah. Lovely. Oh, look at the swimming pool. That's sweet.
Nice roundhouse work.
Matchboxes. I'm so relieved I never had to do this because mine would have just been a complete mess.
Absolutely. Mm.
And that really is it. So, great. I hope you're pleased with your brand new home.
It's very nice, isn't it, Lady Penelope?
There's a lot to remember, though, isn't there, Brace?
Wow.
Don't think that was Genevieve Gord at the end, was it?
It wasn't, no.
There you go. Did you make the Blue Peter Tracy Island? Let us know. podcast@jerryanson.com. Maybe even send us a picture.
That'd Maybe even go and follow Anthea Turner on Instagram because she has just brought out that particular model to show off to people.
She kept it all these years.
She's actually kept her own model.
Yes, she really did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And what she's on her Instagram, what's she doing with it? Just refreshing it and giving it another little paint?
A bit of restoration.
Something like that. Yeah. Is it showing its age a bit?
Putting the new Corgi models on it just to show that they still fit.
Yes.
And they do.
Some kind of competition as well.
Oh, yes. I think if you've got photos of yourself doing your old original make, then you can send them in and win some stuff.
Okay, well, if you've got any pictures of yourself doing the old original make, send them in to us.
Yes.
We'll show them, but we won't give you anything. How's that?
Wow.
That's
can't say fairer than that.
No, you really can't say fairer than that. Now, talking of saying fairer than that, I think it's time, and you can't say fairer than this, that one of us press the big red button to see what we're going to watch on the randomizer this month.
Well.
Shall we have a look? Chris? Yeah. Jamie?
Well, we've got two other people in this room. One of them might like
we could all press it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what? All of us in the room?
Yeah.
Come on then, Ross, Charlotte. Let's see how this is going to look.
Where's your button, Chris?
If you could hold the button up for us.
I shall hold the button up.
Sort of like there. That's it. You come in. That's it.
All hands.
All for one and one for all. And let's press the button. 3, 2, 1.
Oh!
Oh!
Here we go.
Yes. Now, with five or four hands on that... We should get something special.
Well, I hope so.
We should.
Considering the randomizer is truly random.
It's truly random.
That's amazing that here on this special 60th anniversary Thunderbird special of the Jerry Anderson podcast, we should be watching Thunderbirds.
Truly incredible.
Yes.
Chris, which episode are we going to watch?
Well, again, it's just such a random fluke of randomness.
Yes.
We're going to watch the first episode.
Oh.
We're going to watch Trapped in the Sky.
Perfect. Yeah. So do join Jamie, Chris and I to watch the very first episode of Thunderbirds in 2 weeks' time on the Randomizer. And in the meantime, we'll see you back here, maybe with a special guest.
Special guest?
I hope so. My special has all run out.
For the Jerry Anderson podcast in a few weeks' time. See you then. Bye. Bye.
Now, if I'd seen that bit as a kid, I would have like, no, thank you, I'm done with this.
Maybe that's part of why it's so compelling.
No.
For the love of God, don't do that. I've seen this 100 times, I must have done, and I'm still getting suckered in.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Let's get started.
Let's go!
Spectrum is green.
That was an Anderson Entertainment production.